buds and rejoice. We thank God for your ministry. I would call your attention to the book of Matthew as we're continuing in our series, I Love My Church. Amen. Amen. Good to see you. I love my church. Amen. Matthew, if you have a Bible, go ahead and stand to your feet, turning to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, very deservedly popular text. We're continuing this series as we look at parables that are given to us so that we might understand what we ought to be as the church. Amen. Look at these deacons in there, sharp white. Amen. Look at them. Amen. Deaconess, y'all look good. Amen. Look at them. Amen. Y'all look sharp and distinguished. Praise God. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. When you've got it, say, I've got it. Amen. Somebody's still turning. I hear you. I hear you. Amen. If you don't have a scripture, look on with your neighbor. I would that you see the words. I believe they will bless your life. I just believe that there's power in the word. I'm like the Scots. I believe the Bible from kibber to kibber. It's a powerful word. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14, and it reads like this. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his ability. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. Amen. Do me a favor and look at your neighbor and say, make the most of it. Now, you got to say it with a little enthusiasm. Make the most of it. You're looking at me. Now, look at them and say, make the most of it. You may be seated. Amen. 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 One of the reasons I love my church is because my church, Shiloh, helps me to make the most of everything God's given me. My church helps me to make the most of everything God has given me. Let us pray. And now, God, we thank you for your people. We stand awaiting and listening for your word. Speak to our hearts in such a way that we might hear and forever be changed. We bind the enemy. We're focused on hearing from you. Your spirit is speaking to our hearts. Speak, Holy Spirit, speak. Solo Deo Gloria. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody said it this way. We only have one life to live. We could be the young and the restless or the bold and the beautiful. Because like sand going through an hourglass, these are the days of our lives. It's true. We have been given one life to live. There are no retakes. There is no redoing. We have to decide to give it our all. No matter what happens, I'll never get this moment back again. I'll never get this day today to do this work right now again. So we have to decide that we will be maximizers, that we will maximize every opportunity we are given. We will maximize the life that we have been given. We'll make the most of it. We'll be maximizers. I see the look on your face. Well, what is a maximizer? A maximizer is someone who manages their life to make the most of it. Would you say that? A maximizer. Okay, I got about 10 of y'all. A maximizer. That's 150. A maximizer. I need 400. A maximizer is someone who manages their life to make the most of it. I want to make the most of my life. In fact, every Christian has an innate internal calling that says, I want to do my best and be my best. I want to make the most of it. There's some internal desire and drive to make you aspire. And the church is part of that, building in you what you ought to be. I know it's natural because my children have proven it to me. All of my children, Hodari, Nehemiah, Kendra, Grace, Benaniah, I think I'm missing someone. But all of my children have helped me because at some some point in their journey, all of them have come out of my closet wearing my shoes. Maybe at the age of 4, they're wearing my shoes or my boots, and they're trying to go around the house because they're aspiring to be bigger and better than they are. They're aspiring to grow, and that's true for all of us. God wants you to grow. I know there's somebody listening to me, and you're not feeling me. In fact, you're a little upset because you know you're sitting on some of the gifts God has given you. Yeah. God has called you to do something. It might be to be in the choir. In fact, I feel it in my spirit. There's some choir members out there, and you know that God has called you to sing, but you said, I'm not going to sing because I don't like this or I don't want that. And you're wrestling with it because you know God has put a song in your heart. Yeah, you sing showers of blessings every day in the shower. And all I'm trying to say is the truth is God has made you to be everything that you can be. And you will only be completely fulfilled when you fulfill the calling. I'll say that again. You will only be completely fulfilled when you fulfill the calling on your life. God says, I put in you something great. But in this text, we meet before the maximizer, we meet a minimizer. Do you see the minimizer? The minimizer was the one who received only one talent. And the issue wasn't how many talents he received. The issue is how he worked with what he had. Amen. The issue isn't how much hair you have on your head. It's how you work the hair on your head. Amen. I'm just going to keep on preaching. And you see, the minimizer only had one talent. And so instead of doing something positive with their one talent, the minimizer dug a hole and buried it in the ground. That don't make no sense. Yeah, that's a double negative. It doesn't make sense for you to do all that work to do nothing. The minimizer dug a hole in the ground to do nothing. Now, here's the reason you got to get this. The minimizer did what they did is because they did not believe in God. Oh, I'm preaching this. Y'all not listening. The minimizer did not have faith that God would bless their work. So instead, they decided to do no work. Well, how do you know that? Because if you read the entirety of the parable, it goes on to say, I knew you were a mean master requiring stuff that you did not give. I knew you weren't a kind master. I knew you were mean. Can I tell you a secret? People who don't see God as gracious, people who don't see God as loving, people who don't see God as kind, do very little because they don't believe that God is going to bless what they do. So instead, they sit down on the do and they do nothing. But people who believe God do their... Okay, y'all not feeling me. I know I'm in the Bible. Let me tell you the story. It was Hudson Taylor, that great missionary who went from place to place sharing the gospel, reaching souls everywhere. One day he was on a ship and he was going to the Sumatra Islands. He was on the ship. He was going to the Sumatra Islands for great missionary work to share the gospel. But on his way, there was a knock on his cabin door, and the captain said, Minister, Reverend, the ship, there's no wind, and even worse, we are near some islands where there are cannibals. There's no winds. We are drifting near the islands where there are cannibals, and cannibals eat people. We are people. We're going to get eaten. And so the minister said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray and talk to God. I'll pray and talk to God, and God will send the winds. All I need you to do is raise the sails. The captain said, I won't raise the sails right now, but I'll raise them as soon as the winds come. No. You're not feeling me. This is what Hudson Taylor in the H. Hamilton translation said. You're not feeling me. You need to raise the sails now. He said, I'm not going to raise the sails now because there's no wind. No, raise the sails now because there's going to be wind. But once I see wind, he said, no, you got to do it now because you got to do it by faith. So finally, the captain of the ship goes out and he raises the sails. Oh, I'm feeling this thing. And Hudson Taylor is cradling. About 40 minutes later, the captain comes back and knocks on the door and says, Rev, please stop praying. We got too much wind. You got to stop praying. Here's the point. God wants us to trust him enough to do our part before it's necessary. Yeah. God wants us to get ready for what he's going to do before it's necessary. God wants us to make room for those who are ascending right now. God wants you to get ready for the job right now. God wants you to get ready for the man right now. God wants you to get ready for the blessing right now. God wants you to have a resume in your purse right now. God says, get ready right now, because when you believe in God, you will do, because you know that God will do the rest. You know that God's going to do his part. You just got to do your part. That's a matter of faith. You see, this minimizer did not believe. And it's dangerous when you don't believe. It makes you negative. Don't look at your neighbor. Look straight ahead. Straight ahead and say, when you don't believe, it makes you negative. When you believe, deacon, it makes you positive, because you are positive that somehow God will step in. You are positive that somehow God will turn it around. You are positive that somehow God will make the difference. You are positive that God is positive, and because God is positive, all things...
Mon Paris, the new feminine fragrance, Yves Saint Laurent.
Together for the positive. Woo! Keep on preaching. That's the minimizer. That's the minimizer. It's dangerous to be a minimizer, because instead of working what you got, you bury it in the ground. But then there are the maximizers. And I believe this parable, this pericope, has been painted for us to look at this picture and discover some lessons from this parable. And the first lesson is this: the maximizer understands that their term is limited.
Say it.
Okay, say it with me. Their term. Y'all miss me. Their term is limited. Okay, one of our musicians, Brother McCune, he is our second on staff here, secondly behind Minister Woods. He was in the hospital this week. He was in the hospital with double pneumonia and very sick. And so we said to him, hey, brother, you don't need to come. You stay home and get some rest. And he said, yes. And he eventually came down to the point that his daughters were being baptized today. And he said, I understand that I can't relive that. I can't relive that. That's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And so I'm not going to miss that. Can I talk to you for a minute? Your life is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Don't live life with regrets, but choose to give it all you got right now. Decide that this term is limited. I may only have 110 years, so I better preach a little harder, because I don't know how much preaching God's going to give me. I want to give it my best right now. I want to give it my all right now. I want to give my, because this term is limited. Time is winding up. In fact, Ecclesiastes says that life is like a vapor. Do you know what a vapor is? If you go out into the cold and you breathe, or if you go to the mirror and you breathe on the mirror for some seconds, for some moments, there's some hot air. Life moves that fast, so you better seize the day. You better take, okay, y'all not feeling me at all, so I'm going to make it plain. It was Maxine Waters. I'm from California, born, raised California. Maxine Waters is from Los Angeles. Maxine Waters is a tough congresswoman. She handles her business. And so she was interviewing the Secretary of Treasury. She was interviewing the Secretary of Treasury, and she explained that she had authority as a congresswoman in this area of Congress to be in charge of the Secretary of Treasury. And after she explained that, she said, can you tell me, Nugent, why you did not answer the letter we sent to you. And he began to wax deep. He said, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, I am from California, and I appreciate your distinguished work, and on and on. She said, no, can you answer the question? And again, he began to meander. No, can you answer the question? No, okay, I reclaim my time. Now, in the language of Congress, when she said, I reclaim my time, she essentially said, shut up, your time is over, because you're wasting mine. Now, I appreciate that because I know a lot of Christians, I'm guilty of it myself, we live from day to day and we let people waste our time. You ever worry? Yeah, you ever worry? That's because you're letting the devil waste your time. You ever get upset and walk around in circles, angry, cussing and fussing? You're letting the devil waste your time. And all I'm trying to say is we can learn a lot from Maxine Waters. We ought to live our life telling the enemy, telling the world, I reclaim my time. When the enemy tries to sneak up on you and mess with you, I reclaim my time. When people try to fuss and mess with you, I reclaim my time. When people try to get on your nerves, just look them in the eyes and say, I reclaim my time, because your time is too valuable, because your life is termed. So don't waste a second, don't waste a minute or 60 seconds in it, because God has given you this term, this time, and you better use it wisely, because this season is winding up. Okay, some of y'all not feeling me. I want you to go home today and find a yearbook and look at yourself. Look very closely. Look at the curves. Look at what was upstairs, and you will notice it has moved downstairs. Look at yourself very closely, and you will recognize time is winding up. The old saints used to say, time is filled with swift transitions. You better hold to his unchanging hands. This is it. This is what he's given us, and we gotta take it. We got to seize it. We got to claim it. This is your time. I regret a few things in my life. Let me give you one of my greatest regrets. One of my greatest regrets is I was a great athlete in high school. But I wasn't disciplined enough to do the great things I could have done on the team. So consequently, I sat the bench or just wasn't on the team because I didn't see. I'm serious. I could have ran faster. I could have thrown harder. I could have pushed more, but I didn't seize the day. Can I warn you, Shiloh? Can I warn you and tell you, don't live looking back. Seize the day right now. Right now. This is it. Lesson from the text is that the maximizer understands that their time is termed. But not only does the maximizer understand that their time is termed, the maximizer understands that there is tutelage to learn. Y'all didn't see that in the text, but let me show you. You will notice they stratosphered, or you will notice that God or the master scaled the talents according to ability. And so the one who had the least ability could look at the others who had more ability. And the lesson is, God always puts people around us to give us tutelage. There are examples around us of people who know more than I know. The challenge is, we don't like to admit we don't know. So instead, we act dumb so we don't look dumb. There's a very famous leader right now. I won't say who or where, but his problem is he won't admit that he doesn't know. So he tweets all night and is stressed out. Now wait, his position is designed so he can't fail. He has advisors up to yin-yay, that's a word. But instead of accepting advice, he's doing it all by himself unto himself. Okay, I'll move on since y'all not feeling me. All I'm trying to say is there is tutelage for all of us. I can learn something. God has given me tutelage, and I is the pastor, but God has given me deacons. God has given me trustees. God has given me an assistant pastor, and we talk. I learn, they learn, we grow together. I understand that there is tutelage around. Tutelage does not say that you are diminished. Tutelage say that God has hooked you up and put you in a posture and a position so you can succeed. There is tutelage around you. Do you have a bad credit score? That's okay. Get with somebody who understands the credit score and they will help you out. Do you have some physical challenges? That's okay. Get with someone who understands being physically fit and they will help you out. Do you have marital challenges? Don't wave your hands. That's okay. Talk to the marriage ministry and somebody will help you learn how to talk to your wife. But whatever the issue is, there is tutelage all around you. Okay, y'all not feeling me? I love the story of Moses, and I'll move on to the text. I love the story of Moses. The story of Moses is really a man who went into the wilderness for 40 years. And he was on the backside of a mountain. What a waste. Why would Moses, this prince of Egypt, be in the desert for 40 years? And then God says, Moses, come here. I want you to lead my people through the desert. And so when he saw the scorpion, he said, back up this way. That's dangerous. When he saw the rock, he said, turn it over. There'll be a well. He understood the desert because he had lived in the desert. All I'm trying to say is all around you, there are people here to hook you up. All I'm trying to say is there is, oh, y'all not feeling me. There is tutelage. Okay. The story is told of a man who was walking down the street, and while he was walking down the street, he fell into a big, dark hole. Oh, help! He hit the ground. He was still alive, and he started saying, help! Somebody up there, help! And eventually, a doctor came by. A doctor wrote a prescription for pain medicine, dropped it in, and said, get that filled, and you'll feel better. Help! Now he's down there. He's wondering, is anybody going to help him? Will somebody help me out? This manhole was open and I fell in. Help me out. Next, an attorney comes by. The attorney drops his card down there and said, look, if you ever get out of there, you and me, we can make some big money. Yeah, we'll be fat. We'll make some money. I'll hook you up. Help! Is there anybody who can help a brother out? Help! And eventually a man comes in, looks in the hole and says, I know what you're going through. And he jumps in the hole. Now the man who was crying help says, why in the world did you jump in the hole I'm stuck in? Now we're both stuck in the same hole. And the man says, that's cool in the game because about this time last year, I fell down this same hole and I know my way out. Follow me. I'm going to help you out. All I'm trying to say is all around us, God has put tutelage, people who will help us out, people who will give us a hand and give us a word and show us the way. God has placed people around us. First, our time is turned. But then there's tutelage to learn. But that's not all this text is tailored to teach, because this text is tailored to teach that our talent is a treasure. And you got to say this because you got to get this. Wake your neighbor up if you got to elbow them real hard. Say this. Our talent. In fact, say it this way. My talent is a treasure. Okay, they didn't say it. You got to get it. My talent is a treasure. You got to understand that God has given you something and it's absolutely valuable. What God has given you is absolutely a treasure. It's essential. You just got to be in the right place so that your talent will be treasured. Y'all missed that. Yeah. You got to be in the right place so that your talent will be treasured. Nobody's looking for a mechanic in the cockpit, but somebody is looking for a mechanic on the ground. Nobody's looking for a pilot in the mechanic room, in the garage. But when you get in that plane, they say, where is the pilot? You've got that kind of talent. And if you're willing to use that talent, I'm gonna land this plane. If you're willing to use that talent, God will bless you and the world. Okay, y'all not feeling me. I like Venus Williams. Yeah, I like Venus Williams because I like tennis. And I watched the life and the history of Venus and Serena Williams. I watched them go through. I watched them go through difficulty and trial and all these things and all the hardship it was to break into the sport. But I remember early on, I noticed something about Venus, that Venus had something called an ace. Would you say an ace? An ace is when you can serve serve the tennis ball so fast that your opponent cannot hit it, and it's in legal space, and so you get the point. Well, the ace is when you serve just that fast, they can't touch it. And so what Venus does is she has this amazing serve. In fact, she goes up to 129 miles an hour. When she throws that ball in the air, she goes, ow! And she hits it. As she can, and her opponent can't see the ball. So she can fall way back, but because she has an ace, she can use it to get out of trouble. And all I'm trying to say, God says he's given you an ace. And if you're willing to use that ace, he will let you get up out of trouble. If you're willing to use the gift that God has given you, he will use it to, okay, y'all not feeling me? My daddy, unlike me, my daddy can cook. And he told me when he was in the military, one of the things he did is he started cooking. He cooked so well that the others who were in his area, his platoon, his house with him, they would pay him to cook. And he did that as a side business. It made him quite successful. He even said he got promotions because he could cook. And all I'm trying to say is God has given you some stuff that if you're willing to use it, and use it till you're satisfied, then God will get glory and you'll get the good. God has put in you an ace. God has put in you a skill. God has put in you something that if you use it, the kingdom of God will be blessed. The kingdom of God will be better and bigger because you're using your gift. Y'all not feeling me, but the truth is, this text is really tailored to teach us that we can give our best. That this life is all about giving the most we can. And that's the lesson we see in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, he came to earth and he gave his best. He first gave his best in his manifestation. In his manifestation, meaning that he would put on the flesh, he would become a human, and he would come through 32 generations and he would do what he was called to do. And then he gave his best in his ministry, that he would help people, he would touch people, he would heal people, he would love people. He gave his best while he was on earth. He kept giving and giving and giving and giving. He understood that he could make a living by his giving. And all I'm trying to say is that's what we're called to do. But not only did he do it that way in ministry, not only did he do it in the manifestation of the cross, but he made himself of no reputation. He made himself sin for my sake. He got up on the cross and he suffered on the cross. He suffered. He became sin and he took on shame for myself. And all I'm trying to say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to live my life to give my best. So somebody will say, I gave all I had. I gave everything I could. I gave and I gave and I gave. And if you give and you give and you give, I want to let you know, after your talent, which is a treasure, God will give you a tribute. God will say, well done, I've done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many. I'm going to give you a crown of life because you lived so well and you gave your all. You served when nobody was watching. You gave when nobody knew it. You gave and you gave. So now I'm going to honor you in the highest seat. I'm going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm living this life like it's golden because I want to give God all my best. I want God to say amen and praise God. I want God to say, I'm proud of you, boy. I want God to say, you gave all you had. I want God to say, you gave when it hurt. I want God to say, you gave when nobody said anything. I want God to say, you gave and you gave. And you gave. I'm committed
to giving this life? Is there anybody here that's willing to give this life, to give themselves, to give their all, to give their best? Go ahead and let God know, I am a giver. I'm here to give. I live to give. I'm here to serve. I'm here to help. I'm here to work. And I'm here to worship. I'm here to give. Yeah. Let's stand to our feet. I know you know the song, and somebody says something like this, says, you can't beat God's giving, no matter how you try. That, come on now, that's a promise. You can't beat God's giving, no matter how you try. Come on, let's sing it together. Song simply says, you can't beat God's giving. There you go, thanks, sir. No matter how you try. Come on, sing with your mic.
Just as sure
as you are living,
as you are living, and the Lord is in heaven. Oh,